Welcome to your own personal deep dive. You know, we're doing these for all of our listeners.
Yeah.
We're really excited about this one. This is Tokyo's latest investor update. And you know, you shared this with us, and we're so happy to kind of dig in here
Yeah.
and see you know, what Tokyo's been up to.
Yeah, this is a really well-structured update, I have to say.
Yeah.
Gives us a lot of insight into, how Tokyo is thinking about things.
Yeah.
Starts with some background information, about key players, then gives us a portfolio overview, wins and losses, and then a whole section about, favorite
Yeah,
stocks.
the favorite, and right. Always a really good section. I think, you know, really interesting to kind of see where they're, placing some bets.
Yeah, and this time, they've flagged three companies in particular
Yeah.
for a deep dive: Infineon, Okta, and Siemens.
I'm excited to dig into all three of those.
Yeah.
Let's start with Infineon.
Yeah. Infineon, so Jochen Hinbeck, the CEO of Infineon, is really a fascinating figure, I would say. He's facing some serious headwinds right now. Revenue and profit margins both took a hit in 2024. And yet he's sticking to his guns, in terms of his long-term vision for the company, continuing with, planned investments and, funding it primarily through free cash flow.
Okay, so he's doubling down.
Yeah.
Like most CEOs, you know, if profit is down, they start pulling back on spending. But
Exactly.
he's like, no, full steam ahead.
Yeah, he's like, we're sticking to the plan.
Yeah.
And the plan includes, this new fabrication plant in Dresden for smart power
Oh,
applications.
yeah, I remember that from the update.
Yeah.
And they're going to be using that to build power supplies for AI.
Exactly.
Wow, that is like really, you know, betting on the future.
It is. And then in addition to that, right, you have this massive silicon carbide plant in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Huge investment. Silicon carbide is, you know, crucial for, you know, electric vehicles and renewable energy.
It is.
So, you know, while some investors might be nervous about Infineon's current performance,
Right.
you know, this aggressive investment strategy signals a lot of confidence
Yeah.
in long-term demand for their products.
It does. It's interesting, right? This kind of contradiction. Like, on the one hand, they're investing heavily, but on the other hand, profits are down.
Is that wavering confidence, or is that,
Well, that's the question, right? Is it recklessness?
or is it, you know,
Calculated risk.
really good play?
Yeah, based on insider knowledge and, industry trends.
Yeah, but what do you think? What's Tokyo's perspective?
So Tokyo seems to be on board with this vision. They highlight Infineon's innovations in SiC and GaN technologies as, key reasons for their optimism. And they see the current dip as a buying opportunity. They're even projecting a 13.8% annual return based on the price to earnings ratio.
Okay, so they're looking at future growth.
They're not just looking at current profits.
Yeah,
They're
so yeah.
looking at, future growth based on these investments.
I like it. All right, let's move on to the next one. Okta.
Opta, yeah.
I'm really intrigued by this guy, Todd McKinnon, you know, the CEO, leaving a, you know, nice cushy job at Salesforce.
Yeah, during the financial crisis in 2008 to start his own company.
Like that takes
It
guts.
does. You have to admire that, that
Yeah.
foresight. But, his experience at Salesforce gave him a front row seat, I think, to the power of, cloud solutions and the SaaS model. He applied that knowledge to Okta, focusing on identity and authorization management.
It's a huge market.
Huge market, and increasingly critical, I
I'm
think,
glad
in
you
our
have.
digital world.
Yeah, for sure.
So, they've adopted this land and expand strategy. Targeting large enterprises with a free trial period and then upselling them on, additional features.
Yeah, that makes sense. But they're having some challenges with the expand part.
Well, that's the thing, right? They seem to be winning new clients at a good pace, but they're having trouble increasing revenue from those existing clients. And this is a common challenge, I think, for SaaS companies,
Well, it's
and it's likely contributing to their current lack of profitability, which, is something that investors are watching closely.
For sure.
And then there's the Auth acquisition
Yeah, that was a big one.
in 2021.
Shikyu.
So expanding into the, small business and customer identity management market seems like a smart move strategically. But I noticed they financed it entirely with Okta
Oh
shares
yeah, when the price was high.
when the price was at its peak.
Talk about timing.
Yeah.
Like, ouch.
Yeah. So using stock at its peak price is a risky play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while it avoids, you know, immediate cash outlay,
right?
It can significantly dilute shareholder value if the stock price drops.
Which it did.
Which it did in Okta's case.
Yeah.
And the market often views these large acquisitions with, you know, skepticism,
mm-hmm.
because integration can be messy.
Yeah.
And synergy realization is often harder than anticipated.
For sure. It's a lot easier said than done.
Exactly.
But Tokyo doesn't seem too worried about all that.
Yeah. They're not phased.
Do they address that in the update?
They do.
Okay.
They acknowledge the integration challenges, but believe that they're solvable.
Yeah.
They seem to view the acquisition as a long-term strategic win,
right,
despite the market's initial, you know, negative reaction,
mm-hmm.
and their projected annual return of 13%.
Wow.
Based on a discounted cash flow model.
Okay.
Suggests that they see, you know, significant upside potential.
So they're contrarian a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the last one here. Siemens.
Siemens.
You know, their story, I think, is particularly relevant right now,
mm-hmm.
given, you know, Germany's going through this economic transformation.
Big time.
They really need to adapt to this digital age.
Yeah. Siemens embodies this transformation, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, their lying eight concept, you know, connecting the real and digital worlds.
Right.
Really highlights this commitment, I think, to bridging the gap between...
Yeah.
You know, their traditional industrial strengths
mm.
and the demands of the digital economy.
Yeah.
Which is quite remarkable for a company with a 175-year history.
It really is. Like, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
But they're still innovating.
Yeah. They're not resting on their laurels.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is that despite being in the midst of this major transformation,
yeah,
they're managing to pull off record profits.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Which speaks volumes, I think, about their ability to adapt and innovate.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not all smooth sailing.
Okay.
Their digital industries division, the DI division,
mm-hmm.
is facing some headwinds due to the global economic slowdown.
That makes sense. I mean, everybody's kind of dealing with that.
Yeah.
Right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're even, you know, considering job cuts, which
yeah.
is never a good sign.
No, never. But, you know.
That's understandable.
It is. It's a tough environment out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But... Roland Busch, the CEO, seems determined to push forward
yeah.
with his one tech company plan.
Mm-hmm.
So spinning off the Innomotics division.
All right.
Acquiring the U.S. software specialist Altair for $10 billion.
Wow, that's a big move.
Yeah, huge move.
Yeah.
And potentially reevaluating their stake in Siemens Healthineers.
Okay.
These are bold moves.
Yeah, they're not shying away from anything.
No, they're not.
That's for sure.
And let's not forget the proposed dividend increase.
Oh, yeah.
From 4.7 euro to 5.29.
That's pretty significant.
It is. It's a clear signal of confidence in their future performance.
Yeah.
And a commitment to shareholder value.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're also involved in some really fascinating projects.
Yeah. Like the American Pioneer 220 high-speed train project.
That one's really cool.
It is. It really shows, you know, their reach and ambition.
Mm-hmm. So... Despite all these challenges, they're, you know, making big bets.
Yeah. They're not afraid to invest.
And investing strategically.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's Tokyo's take on this?
So Tokyo seems to believe in Siemens's long-term potential.
Okay.
And their ability to navigate, you know, these complexities of the digital transformation.
Mm-hmm.
They're projecting a 9.5% annual return.
Okay.
Based on the price-to-earnings ratio.
So not as high as the other two.
Not as high as Infineon or Okta.
Right.
But still, you know, quite healthy.
Yeah, very respectable.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got three very different companies here.
We do.
Each facing unique challenges and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Infineon is pushing aggressively into these new technologies.
Yeah.
Okta is grappling with these integration issues mm-hmm. and profitability concerns.
Right.
And then Siemens is navigating this massive transformation, but still delivering strong financial results.
It is. It's like a snapshot yeah. of the global economic landscape.
Yeah. It's really fascinating to see all this.
Yeah. And I think Tokyo's favorite and choices provide a fascinating glimpse into their investment philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly looking for companies with bold visions,
yeah.
strong leadership,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the capacity to adapt and innovate.
Yeah. And they're not afraid to take risks.
No. They're not.
You know, if they believe in the long-term potential.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're willing to bet on companies that are going against the grain,
mm.
disrupting industries,
Yeah.
Creating new possibilities.
Yeah. I like their style.
Yeah. It's an exciting approach.
All right. Well, before we delve further into Tokyo's strategy,
okay,
let's take a quick look at their overall portfolio performance.
Sounds good to me.
Let's see how these favorite and fit within the broader picture.
Okay.
You know how they're doing overall with all their investments.
All right. Let's do it. Awesome. All right. So looking at Tokyo's portfolio overview.
Okay.
The first thing that jumps out at me is the sheer diversity of their holdings.
It's like a global buffet.
It is.
Of investments.
Yeah, they're not putting all their eggs in one basket, that's for sure.
No, they've got exposure to tech, healthcare, industrials, consumer goods, even some renewable energy plays.
Yeah, it's clear that they're not afraid to, you know, spread their bets.
No, not at all. And I think that's smart.
Yeah, diversification is key.
Especially right now.
Especially in today's volatile market.
Yeah.
And it aligns perfectly, I think, with Tokyo's long-term approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're building a portfolio designed to weather economic storms and, you know, capitalize on these emerging trends across various sectors.
Yeah. Speaking of weather and storms, I noticed they actually took a loss.
Oh, yeah.
On a few positions.
Mm-hmm.
That Heidelberg Materials stock, for example.
Yeah.
They sold it at a loss, even though it was previously considered a favorite.
That's an interesting point. Shows that they're not, you know, emotionally attached to their picks.
Right.
Even if a stock was once a favorite,
yeah,
they're willing to cut their losses.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not performing as expected or if their investment thesis changes.
Yeah.
Discipline over sentimentality, you could say.
Yeah, makes sense. Holding onto a losing stock, hoping it's going to rebound.
Yeah.
Can be a recipe for disaster.
Sometimes it's better to just take the hit and move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, they also bought back into CrowdStrike.
Oh, yeah.
After a significant price drop.
Oh, the classic buy the dip strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be tempting.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when a quality company stock takes a hit.
Uh-huh.
For reasons that seem temporary or, you know, unrelated to its core business.
Right.
But it requires nerves of steel.
Yeah, you got to have that conviction.
You do. You have to believe in the company's long-term prospects and be willing to ride out the volatility.
Well, Tokyo clearly has nerves of steel.
They do. They seem very comfortable.
Yeah.
With a bit of calculated risk taking.
They're not afraid to go against the market.
No, they're not.
If they see an opportunity.
If they see an opportunity, they're going to jump on it.
I like it.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder that, you know, market downturns can present excellent buying opportunities for those who have done their homework and, you know, have conviction in their analysis.
Absolutely. All right. Now, before we get into, you know, Tokyo's January buys and sells.
Okay.
I want to touch on something that really stood out to me in this update.
Okay.
It's not just the numbers and charts, you know, it's the way they weave in the human element.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like they provide background information on the CEOs, highlight their leadership styles, even mention personal anecdotes.
Yeah. It's like getting a glimpse into the minds of the people who are driving these companies.
Exactly. It's not just about understanding the business, but understanding the people.
Right.
Behind the business, it makes the whole analysis feel more grounded and relatable. It reminds me of something you said once, you know, investing is not just about numbers.
Oh, yeah.
It's about people.
You remember that?
I do.
That's right. It's crucial to consider the human element.
Yeah.
A company's success is ultimately driven by the vision, the talent, and the determination of its leadership.
Mm-hmm. And Tokyo seems to get that.
They do.
We saw it with their analysis of Hainbeck at Infineon.
Mm-hmm.
McKinnon at Okta, and Bush at Siemens.
It's a smart approach.
Yeah, they clearly value strong leadership and the ability to navigate these complex challenges.
Yeah, investing in a company is essentially investing in its leadership team.
Right.
You're betting on their ability to make sound decisions, adapt to changing conditions, and ultimately deliver value to shareholders.
It's like finding a captain you trust to steer the ship through rough seas.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's shift our focus now to Tokyo's recent trading activity.
All right.
They made some intriguing moves in January, both buying and selling.
Yeah, let's unpack those moves and see what insights we can glean.
Okay, what caught your eye first?
Well, they added to their position in Novo Nordisk.
Okay.
The pharmaceutical company, you know, focused on diabetes and obesity treatments.
Right.
Seems like they're capitalizing on this recent price dip.
Yeah.
Are they just, you know, betting on a rebound or is there more to it?
It's more nuanced, I think, than just a rebound play.
Okay.
Tokyo specifically mentions Novo Nordisk's commitment to expanding production capacity. To meet you know, the growing demand for their diabetes and obesity treatments.
Right.
So they're not just riding the current wave.
Uh-huh.
They're anticipating future growth based on the company's, you know, strategic investments.
That's a good point. It's one thing to capitalize on, you know, existing trends.
Right.
But it's another to anticipate future demand.
Exactly.
And position yourself accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like Tokyo is really doing their due diligence here.
Yeah. They're not just following the headlines.
No, they're digging deeper.
They are. And this isn't, you know, just a blind bet on the pharmaceutical sector.
Right.
As a whole either.
Exactly. They actually took profits on Novo Nordisk.
Oh, they did?
Back in February 2024.
Okay.
When the price was high.
Right.
So, you know, demonstrating their willingness to adjust their position.
Yeah.
Based on market conditions.
So they're playing the long game here.
Yeah.
You know, strategically buying and selling to maximize returns.
Mm-hmm.
While adhering to their overall investment philosophy.
It's impressive to see.
It is.
That level of discipline and patience.
Discipline is key, right?
It's tempting to chase, you know, these hot stocks.
Yeah.
Or panic sell when the market dips.
Okay.
But, you know, successful investors stay focused on the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And make, you know, calculated decisions based on their analysis.
Yeah. Tokyo really embodies this approach, I think.
I agree.
You know, this deep dive into Tokyo's investor update has been enlightening.
It has.
To say the least.
We've uncovered a lot.
We've uncovered, you know, their investment approach,
mm-hmm.
their meticulous company analysis.
Their portfolio strategy.
Their overall portfolio strategy.
Yeah. Presented with a level of transparency.
Yeah.
That's quite rare.
Very rare.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just giving us, you know, stock picks.
Right.
They're walking us through their thought processes.
Explaining their rationale.
Yeah.
Even acknowledging potential risks.
It's like getting a masterclass in investing.
It is.
From a seasoned expert.
Yeah. A fantastic example of how to think like an investor.
You know, do your research,
mm-hmm.
analyze the financials, assess the leadership, consider the long-term potential, and don't be afraid to go against the grain if you believe.
Exactly. And it underscores the importance of diversification and risk management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tokyo's portfolio is a testament to the power of spreading investments across different sectors and asset classes.
Yeah, it's not about putting all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
It's about building a balanced portfolio.
Exactly.
Designed to weather market volatility and capitalize on these emerging trends.
Well said.
Well, it's been a fascinating journey.
It has.
Through the mind of a skilled investor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've learned some valuable lessons, I think, about company analysis.
Absolutely.
Portfolio management.
The importance of staying informed and adaptable.
Yeah. And maybe most importantly, we've been reminded that successful investing is a reflection of, you know, a well-defined investment philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
A commitment to lifelong learning.
A passion for understanding the businesses and the people driving innovation and growth.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We hope this deep dive has inspired you to explore these topics further,
mm-hmm.
and to continue on your own journey, you know, toward becoming a more informed and successful investor.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Tokyo's investor update. Until next time.
See you later.